Today's daf is Bab Metzia, daf Kuf Zayin. We left off in daf Kuf Vav Amid Beis. We're not at the Mishnah at the bottom, but the Mishnah before that, the second to last Mishnah on daf Kuf Vav Amid Beis, fourth wide line. Says the Mishnah, HaMakabel Sada Mechaveru Ba'asara Korchitim L'Shana. If a person is Makabel a field from his friend to work on the field in exchange for 10 kor of wheat for each year. So again, as we've mentioned many times throughout this parak, each of these Mishnayos is going to speak about either a Chakiris arrangement or an Arisus arrangement. This Mishnah is talking about a Chakiris arrangement, that you're giving 10 kors a year of rental payment, lav dafka, from the field itself. Veluxa, as it turns out, the grain that you planted in that field turned out to not be such great grain. Nosin lamitocha, you're still allowed to pay from the grain that grew in that field. The reason that this is not talking about an arisus arrangement is because it's obvious in an arisus arrangement that you're allowed to pay from the grain that that grows in that field. That's the whole idea of an arisus arrangement is that you give them a percentage of the actual crop. The chiddush is that even in a chakiris arrangement, where it's viewed more as normal rental payment, if the field produced grain, even if it's not the greatest grain, still you can use that as the payment. Hayuchitaha yafos, what if the grain is better than expected? It's a higher than expected quality. Lo yomar lo harini lokeach min ashok. The chocher cannot tell the balabayas, you know what, I'll give you the grain that you expected, the kind of grain that you expected, by buying it from the store, and I'll keep whatever grain this field produced. You're not allowed to say that. Rather, you have to give him from the high quality grain that the field in fact produced. Says the Gemara, who gavered the kabbalah arilas pasta bekuri desari? A person was makabel a land to work to plant aspasta in the land, and in exchange for the payment was going to be with saorim, with barley. So he wasn't supposed to pay from what the land produced. He was supposed to go to the store, buy barley, and use the land to plant aspasta. That was the deal of the aspasta, and he in fact planted aspasta at first, v'charsha, v'zarasari. Then after the aspasta crop grew and was cut and was taken off the field, he replowed the land and planted sorim, instead of planting a second aspasta crop, which would have been the appropriate thing to do based on the arrangement. He instead planted sorim, v'laku, and those sorim, hanisari, and those sorim didn't do very well. They grew, but they weren't very good. Sholcher of Chavivim Yisur de Paris Kamed Ravina Kegavna Mai. So he sent a shayla to Ravina, what's the halacha in this situation? Do we say Kilaksa Nosla Mitocha Dami Alav? Do we say that since the crop turned out not to be so good, you're still allowed to pay from that crop, and this should be no different than our Mishnah, where you're allowed to pay from damaged or lesser quality grain? Or do we say no, that in this case it's different? Amrlei said, "Mi dami? How can you even compare this to the Mishnah? Hasam lo avda arash lichusa demara. Hacha avda arash lichusa demara. In the case of the Mishnah, the land messed up. The owner of the land can therefore suffer the consequences of the land messing up. The land was supposed to produce saorim of a certain quality, and it didn't. So you can tell the balabais, look, I'm going to pay you with the saorim of the quality that the land produced." But over here, in this case, the land didn't mess up. The land wasn't supposed to produce saorim at all. The land was supposed to produce aspasta. You, the choker, decided that you're going to be a chacham and you're going to plant saorim in the land. So if the land produces bad saorim, that's not the Baal Karka's fault. It's not the person who owns the land. It's not his fault, because the land didn't mess up. The land did its job. So you have to pay him with saorim that are appropriate, with decent quality saorim. Who governed? And it happens to be, the Tosus points out, the fact that he first planted aspasta is irrelevant over here. The whole point is, obviously, that in the end he didn't plant saorim. The reason the Gemara mentions that he first planted aspasta and then second time around he planted saorim, Tosus points that love it sarach memer de shad be aspasta de blavach im atz de memer ilu have zar aspasta have avda el meisa have hachi. It just happens to be this is a true story, so the Gemara is reporting the story as it actually happened, but the fact that it planted aspasta doesn't make one bit of difference, as long as in the end he didn't plant what he was supposed to plant the second time around, so he's not going to be able to stick the owner with the lower quality grain that the field actually produced. Instead, he's going to have to provide the owner with grain that would be of reasonable quality. Next story. Who gathered the kabel pardes mechavrei be'eser dani chamer? A person is mechabel a vineyard from his friend, and the payment is supposed to be 10 barrels of wine. Not of grapes, but of wine. Talk of ahu chamra. The wine soured.
So Rav Kana lememer hayne masnisin latsan nasan lemetocha. So Rav Kana thought that's exactly like our Mishnah, where what the field was supposed to produce turned out not to be so good. So you can provide him with whatever it was, though, whatever the field produced. It's his field, so you should be able to provide him with the sour wine instead of providing him with 10 barrels of good wine. Provide him with 10 barrels of wine that his vineyard produced. So Amar Lei Ravashi, mi dami, how can you compare the two cases? Hasam lo avda arash lichusa. In the case of the Mishnah, when the field produced lower quality grain, the field messed up. It didn't produce what it was supposed to produce. Hacha avda arash lichusa. Over here, the field produced wonderful grapes. The grapes were fine, they were perfect, they were fantastic. The problem is, after you turned it into wine, the wine spoiled. But that's not the field's problem. You didn't take care of the wine properly. It's not a problem fundamental to the grapes that were produced by the field. Umod Ravashi bin Vidakadam. Ravashi's mod, obviously, that if there was a problem with the grapes, and that's why the wine spoiled, for instance, the grapes were all wormy, so that's why it didn't make very good wine, because there are crushed worms in your wine. So if the grapes were all were disgusting in the first place, so then obviously it is the field's problem. It is because of the vineyard, and it's not because you messed up in planting the vineyard. And similarly, if it was a field that was destroyed while in its sheaves, meaning it's at that point in the process, it's considered to be the problem of the field, not the problem of the person who is working the field. Okay, next Mishnah. If a person has a deal that he's supposed to plant the field with barley, he should not plant the field with wheat. Why not? Isn't wheat better quality than barley? Aren't you going to be able to provide the person with something better? So says Rashi, lo yizren l'chitin, sha'chitin machishos asakarka yosem min asa'orin. Because wheat weakens the ground more than barley does. So if the owner says, I want you planting barley, it's because he doesn't want the nutrients sucked out of the land at such a rapid pace, so he asks you to plant barley. If you plant wheat, you're going to be taking more nutrients out of the land, you're going to be weakening the land. Rashi then goes on to say, again, that these Mishnayos all have to be either about chakiras or arisos. Which one is this about? V'halo mitukma ela b'chakranos. He says this has to be talking about a case of chakirus, where you're going to pay a rental payment, lav dafka, a percentage of the crop, but rather a rental payment for the land. Di'i b'kablanus, because if we're talking about kablanus, ha'armin and tichosh arav lo l'chushmara, v'arinana b'shinoi shel zeh. If it were about kablanus, we already said previously that when it comes to a kablanus arrangement, the owner of the karka is very happy to sacrifice the nutrients in his land for a better crop. He'd rather have, he says, let the land be weakened and not me be weakened, because I'm going to receive a percentage of this crop. I'm very happy to have the higher quality produce planted here. If you're able to get more out of this land, fine by me. I don't care that you're sucking all the nutrients out of the land to do it. So by kablanos, we know that that's the svar the Baal HaBayis normally works with. And therefore, in our Mishnah, there wouldn't be much of the halach would not be the same. You would not say that he's not allowed to plant chitim. He should be allowed to plant chitim because he's giving him something better. If you look, there's a little dalet at the end of that Rashi that relates to Hagos Hagra. Hagos Hagra writes, "V'aramban kasav lehepuch de bekablanus asu bechalinyan." That the Ramban says the exact opposite. He said, "No, that if it were a case of kablanus, then there's no question that it's usher to change in whichever direction it is. You absolutely cannot change from what you were supposed to plant." What's the svara for the Ramban? Because the machkir can always taina that he wants dafka this min, because he's going to have a chelak in that tevua. Meaning, if it were a case of kablanos, the owner of the karka is going to say, I asked you to plant it with sa'orim dafka, because I'm interested in having sa'orim, and I get a percentage of the crop. It's not like by chakranos where you just get whatever it is, whatever agreed upon payment, whether it be cash or whether it be wheat. It's going to be wheat, whether the guy plants it with barley or wheat. You're going to get the same payment. But when it comes to kablanos, I'm getting a percentage of the crop. So when I told you I wanted to plant it with sa'orim, it's because I'm interested in sa'orim. I'm not interested in chitim. When I told you to plant it with chitim, it's because I'm interested in chitim. I'm not interested in sa'orim. That's why the Ramban says the exact opposite. That when it comes to kablanos, not that when it comes to kablanos, you're just happy to take higher quality stuff and you don't care. No, when it comes to kablanos, you care a lot more. Because if you agree that he's going to plant something, you were banking on having that item, because you're supposed to get a percentage of the crop. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayeter, Chitim Yisra Enes Sa'orim. If you were supposed to plant Chitim, you are allowed to change that and plant Sa'orim instead. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you cannot change and plant Sa'orim instead. Tavua lo Yisra Enes Kitnis. Kitnis Yisra Enes Tavua. If you're supposed to plant grain, you should not plant beans. If you're supposed to plant beans, you may plant grain. Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's Aser. Now, in Rav Shimon Gamliel says, saying it's Aser, he's saying even though L'chora, it seems you're doing something better for the guy, because you're taking less out of his land. It's a case of Chakirus. You're paying him cash anyway. So he obviously would prefer to have land at the end of the day that's worth more, that still has more nutrients in it. So it would seem that you're doing something better for him. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, still, if that wasn't the deal, you're not allowed to do it. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, Amar Rav Chista, my time is Rav Shimon Gamliel. If you're doing something better for him, why can't you do it? What would be the Isser? Again, by Kablanos, we understand very well. The guy wanted that particular item, and you're giving him that particular item. When it comes to whatever, and you're giving him whatever the field produces. When it comes to Chakranos, though, it's not so. The guy is going to get paid the same thing anyway. It doesn't make a difference. He's going to get paid whatever he was supposed to get paid, regardless of what you plant in the field. So why is it that you're not allowed to plant something that's going to leave his field in better shape after you're done with it? So says Rav Chista, as far as follows, Dichsiv, Pasuk says, She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla, v'lo yidabru chazav, v'lo yimatzei b'fiyam lashon tarmis, that Jewish people don't lie. And if we say that we're going to do something, we do it exactly as we say. And we should never tell a lie. And that's it. We shouldn't speak something that's not true. And if the person said he was supposed to plant one type of grain, he has to plant that type of grain, even though planting something else would have been more beneficial to the owner. Now, it's a fine line between saying a person's not going to lie and a person who's Omer Ma'at Va'osa Harbe, right? Like Rashi says in Chumash about Avram Avinu, that he says he's going to get the Malachim X and he gets them X plus Y, right? He gets them a lot more. So there's a difference between omitting and lying. Right over here, the guy said, I'm going to plant this, and he didn't plant this. He planted something else entirely. So because of that, because Jewish people don't lie, or shouldn't lie, that's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel held that even if you're going to do something that's more beneficial for the Baal HaBayis, you're not allowed to do it. Meisvei, Magvas Purim L'Purim. But wait a second. We had a Gemara earlier where the Gemara had said that Purim collections are to be used for Purim. What's the definition of a Purim collection? So if you recall, we had a Machlokas Rashi and the Ritva. Rashi said Purim collections mean money that's collected for the sake of Purim, for the sake of Aniyim being able to have it on Purim for their Sudas Purim or whatever. The Ritva said no. Magvas Purim means money collected on Purim, not money collected for the sake of Purim, but money that happens to be collected on Purim. So either way, that money is supposed to be used for Purim. Ve'ein medaktikin bedavar. Now, what is ein medaktikin bedavar? Rashi says ein medaktikin bedavar. Again, Rashi had said previously ein medaktikin bedavar lomar dayam bepachos v'amosu yipol l'kishal tzedaka. Ein medaktikin bedavar means he's not allowed to say, the aniyim for Purim, we collected $10,000. They really only need $1,000. The general tzedakah funds need a lot more money. Why don't we just replenish the general tzedakah funds with the extra money taken from Matanos Levyonim? Which is, by the way, Maisim B'chol Yom, that this situation comes up. Every single year, people collect large amounts of money from Matanos Levyonim, but the needs of the aniyim are much more spread out than that. The needs of the aniyim are not for that amount of money on that day. Right, they needed more money throughout the year. So can you spread out the money? Says Rashi that's exactly what Eimet Daktikin B'davar means. That to say that it's enough. You can't measure what's enough. You're supposed to give it all for the sake of Purim. The Ritva says no. Eimet Daktikin B'davar means that you're not supposed to interview a person to see if he's really poor before you give him money. If the person says he wants money, he needs money, you give it to him. You're not medaktik bedavar. Anyone who stretches out his hand to take money on Purim, you give them money on Purim. Ve'ena ani rashay likach men ritzul asandal follow. Elim kein histem b'mamanat jayir divra Rabbi Yaakov shamar mishum rameir. Not only that, the ani has to use it for sudas perim. He's not allowed to use it to buy shoelaces if that's what he needs, unless there was a special tanai made b'mamanat jayir. So he's not allowed to do anything different than what the money was collected for. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Meikelbar. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, yeah, he is. You're allowed to change the money to use it for something else. What's the point of quoting this over here? The point is, you see, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who apparently in our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to plant something other than what you said you were going to plant. Why? Because a Jew never tells a lie. You're never supposed to change a single word of what you said. Over here, when it comes to collecting money for Purim, and you tell people, we're collecting it for the sake of Purim, so Anim could have for Sudas Purim. He says, you can use it for other stuff too. Lav Dafka for the Tzarchei Purim. I thought you never allowed to tell a lie, even if it's something that's beneficial for the person. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, we messed up. That was not Rav Chista's interpretation of what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's Svara was, is incorrect. In fact, I'll give you a different Svara, why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you're not allowed to plant something other than the original agreement. Amar Abaye, time of the Rabbi Shimon, Kidamar. The real reason for Rabbi Shimon is as follows. Damar Mar, Haiman de Nichale de Tit Barare. If a person wants his land to be completely fallow, Lizra Shasa Chiti Vishasa Sa'ari, he should switch off years, 1 year plant wheat, 1 year plant barley, Shasa Shasi Vishasa Arev, 1 year plant going horizontally, the next year vertically. Velo Amran El Delokar Vitani, that's only if you don't plow it in between. Velokar Vitani less than ba. If you plow it in between, it's not going to be a problem. So what's going on over here? Says Rashi, if a person wants shetasa bura shelo yitzmuchu zaroneh, a person wants that his plants should be terrible, that everything should work out terribly in his field, that nothing should grow in his field, meaning the Gemara is speaking sarcastically. If you want to be somebody whose field is a piece of garbage, so a really good idea would be to keep switching off what you plant in the field. 1 year wheat, 1 year barley, the field will never get into a groove of producing a particular crop, and it will keep on switching off, it will ruin everything. So if you really want to ruin things good, switch off back and forth. What's the point? The point is, why does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say that I was supposed to plant wheat, which is going to really weaken the field, I'm not even allowed to plant barley, which is going to take less out of the field? No, you know why? Because if this field is meant to be planted with wheat, when I take 1 year and I plant barley in it instead, it's not beneficial. Even though you're right, barley takes less nutrients out of a field than wheat does. But when you do something other than the norm, than what the field is used to, it's not going to be as good. That's the expression that if you want to make your field fallow and produce nothing, you're going to switch off what you're going to plant in it. That's how Rashi understands. Tosfos says it's not true. Tosfos v'kasha da adraba kachu regila shalov de adamah shazarim shana chitim shana sarin. He says, what are you talking about? People who work the land will always tell you that that's normal. That 1 year you plant wheat, 1 year you plant barley. That's the appropriate thing to do if you want your field to maximize its production. And to the contrary, if you plant 2 years in a row the same thing, it will get ruined. And in fact, Tosfos says it's the opposite that's happening in the Gemara. Why is it that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says if the agreement was to plant wheat, you shouldn't plant barley? Probably because the previous year barley was already planted. And the owner doesn't want you planting barley a second year in a row, because that's what's going to ruin the land. It's not going to ruin the land if you switch off. It's going to ruin the land if you don't switch off. So either way, the point is, we understand that Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to say that there might be hakpados other than how much nutrients are being taken out of the land based on what the history of the land is. It's just that Rashi and Tosfos understand in opposite directions what's best for land and what's worse for land in terms of what the history was. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Tvulo Yisrael Nikitnes. We said that if you were supposed to plant grain, don't plant barley. The Gemara is going to tell us a series of four statements that Rav Yehuda made to Ravin. Statement number one, Masan Rav Yehuda L'Ravin, Tvua Yisrael Nikitnes. If you were supposed to plant grain, yeah, you could plant beans instead, it's no problem. Amr Lei V'anantan Tvua Lo Yisrael Nikitnes. But wait a second, our Mishnah said the opposite. Our Mishnah said if you were supposed to plant grain, don't plant beans. How can you say that you're allowed to? Samalei lo kasha, halan v'halahu. He said, it's not really a kasha. It depends if you're living in Eretz Yisrael or if you're living in Bavel. How so? Says Rashi, masnisin b'Eretz Yisrael kari. Our mission is talking about Eretz Yisrael, shehi makom harim, which is a mountainous region, v'ikal emechosh l'kafsha diara. And therefore you have to worry about the weakening of the land if you plant the wrong thing, if you plant beans instead of grain. But anan hashta b'Bavel kaminan. But we live in Bavel. She mitzulo tvua b'bitzei amayim. There, it's marshlands. The ground is so wet; it's always saturated. V'leka lemechash l'kichsha diara, and therefore you have nothing to be worried about with the ground weakening or the nutrients being lost from the ground. Hilkach mishana b'kol makom sheyirtzim mikitnis l'tvua mitvua l'kitnis. And therefore, in Bavel, whatever you want to go from grain to beans to grain, it's all good. It's not going to do anything to the land. Rabbi Shimon Oser Kedamer. Now, obviously, Rabbi Shimon is going to say it's also like he says in the Mishnah. But the point is that according to Rashi, when we say halan v'halahu, we're saying that in Bavel, it's much you're much more able to switch off from one to the other. Now, obviously, whenever the Gemara says halan v'halahu without specifying which way it goes in which direction, you're likely to find the machlokas rishonim. Right? Rashi says very clearly. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to be much more particular because it's a mountainous region and you have to worry about how much nutrients you're sucking out of the land. In Bavel, we don't have to be as particular. The Rambam says the exact opposite. The Rambam writes that in Bavel, it's asur l'shanos at all from what the Baal HaBayis said. In Eretz Yisrael, it's mutar l'shanos from tvua to kitnis, but from kitnis to tvua, it's going to be asur. That's how the Rambam paskins. And the Magen Mishnah writes that the Rambam was goreis. In the Mishnah, tvua yizrael kitnis, kitnis lo yizrael tvua. But Tosafot Yad asks, how could it be, meaning obviously what the Rambam and Rashi are arguing about is a metzias, that which land is more likely to be destroyed by planting something that's that requires more nutrients, that requires more nourishment? Is Bavel more likely to be destroyed, or is Eretz Yisrael more likely to be destroyed? Asks the Tosafot Yontif, isn't that a metzias? Can't they just call up someone who's an expert in agriculture and find out, call the Department of Agriculture and find out which is true, which land is more likely to be destroyed by planting the wrong thing, Eretz Yisrael or Bavel? So says it to Yontif, something very important. He says, you have to realize the Rishonim lived far away from Eretz Yisrael. They didn't know what was going on in Eretz Yisrael. A lot of the Metzias questions about Eretz Yisrael, Rishonim had no idea. Not only Rishonim, even Achronim, early Achronim, they describe things in Eretz Yisrael that they have no idea what they're describing. Some of the Achronim that described the Kotel had no idea what they were describing. They were describing something that wasn't at all what it was. They were describing the wall. They thought it wasn't the wall to the Harabayas, it was a wall to the Azara, because they didn't know where it was. They never saw it. Never had it. They were never able to see it. So you have to realize how lucky we are to be able to have Eretz Yisrael, that we're able to see firsthand so many things that the Tanakh is talking about and that the Mishnayos are talking about. Okay, I don't know what the Metzius really is though. Now that we do have it, I have no idea what the Metzius really is. Okay, says the Gemara. Armalei Ravida L'Ravin Barav Nachman. So again, statement number two that Ravida says to Ravin Barav Nachman. Ravin Achi, my brother Ravin. The crest that grows by Bekisna, you don't have to worry about Gezel, meaning that you're allowed to go take it out of people's fields. It's not a problem. Why? Because it ruins the fields. People want you to take it out of their field. It's a way to weed out their fields. But if it's by the border of the field, then it is a problem of stealing. Because if it's planted by the border of the field, this crest, then it's obviously being used as a fence. It's as a border fence, and this is a marker to demarcate the border. So that, then you're not allowed to take it. And if it's already hardened to be planted, then it's a problem of stealing, even when it's in the middle of the field. My time, or why? My da'afsid afsid. Once it's at that point, whatever destruction it's going to bring to the field, it's already done. So at that point, it's already at the point where it's not going to do anything bad to the field anymore, and therefore by removing it from the field, you're not doing anybody any favors. It's only destructive. Statement number three. I'm going to let Ravidu the Rav and Barav Nachman. Rav Nachi, Hani Dili Dilach V'Dilach Dili. He says, our trees that are on the border between our fields are all messed up. Meaning some of the trees that look like they're in your field are really mine, and some of the ones that look like they're in my field field are really yours. Apparently that tree is growing on the border where the roots were in one person's field and the tree was like planted sideways and it hung over completely into the other person's field. So he says, our trees are completely, the trees that you think are yours are really mine. The ones that you think are mine are really yours. The minhag used to be that a tree whose roots grew in one field belonged to that field. And if the roots grew in the other field, then it belonged to that field. That was Rav's statement to Shmuel Amar Cholkin. Shmuel says, nah, we don't look at the roots, we just split the tree down the middle. But wait a second, Tiyufta the Rav, we have a Bryce that says, Beferish, you're supposed to split it. That we don't just look at the roots growing on one side, and therefore the tree belonged to the person whose field the roots are growing in. Isn't that a Tiyufta on Rav? So Tirgum Shmuel, Libet Rav, Shmuel defends Rav. Unbelievable. Shmuel argues on Rav, but he gets up to defend Rav. He says, you know what? In all honesty, while I still believe my opinion is correct, I don't want to ask a kasha on somebody else unless it's the kasha is glat. And this kasha is not glat. I can answer it. Tirgum Shmuel, Libet Rav, B'memale kol ha-metzar kulo. That we're talking about where the trees are on the border to the point where it's the roots go on both sides. Where the roots, Rav is that the Braisa, when it says Yachloku, is not talking about where the roots are completely on one side. It's talking about where the roots are between, are some on one field, some in the other field. And that's why it says Yachloku. Frankly, Gemara, oh yeah, Yachi, Mai Lameimra. If that's what it's talking about, what's the big Chiddush that you split it? Of course you're going to split it. What else are you going to do? So, Lotzricha, Detali Tune Lechad Gisa. No, it's a Chiddush because the fruits all lean toward one side. But still, since the roots are partially on one guy's field, partially on the other guy's field, you're going to split it. Still, what's the Chiddush? Because I might think he can say, you take the half that's by you and I'll take the half that's by me and we'll split it right down the middle, meaning going up from the roots straight. So, no, that you can split it widthwise to the point where you divide the tree, meaning if the tree is slanted, you split it along the width of its trunk so that half so that it's split more evenly, half and half, instead of just going straight up in a line perpendicular to the ground. If the tree is growing sideways, so you have to go along the angle of the tree rather than just going straight up, where one guy is going to end up getting very little. Fourth statement of Rav Yehuda to Rav, and final statement. Amalei Rav Yehuda to Rav and Rav Nachman. This is going to be Agadata. Rav Nachi, lo taz ben arad desmich lamasa. He says, you should know, don't buy land that's nearby the city. Because the Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Asul Aladim Shiamal Al Stechaver B'Shosh Shomedes B'Komasei, that a person is not supposed to stand by a field that belongs to someone else that's fully grown and looks good, because when you're sitting there standing and looking at it, it's going to be an Ayin Hara. So he says the best idea is when you ever want to buy land that people won't always be looking at constantly. When people are looking at things constantly and they're always admiring it, that's going to be the cause for Ayin Hara. Right? That's what people have the wrong idea of what it takes to ward off Ayin Hara. They think they're right to bendels and this and that, and they have all these different tricks of warding off Ayin Hara. There's a tried and true way to ward off Ayin Hara. It's a pasuk, Vatznei Alecha, Sim Hashem Elokecha. If a person doesn't have a look at me attitude and they don't build homes that are look at me, and they don't drive cars that are look at me, and they don't do things where they're trying to dress in a way where they're trying to get everyone to look at them. That's a way to ward off Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara is brought by causing people to look at your success. When people are looking at your success, even if they're not so envious, they're just looking at your success. That's the cause of Ayin Hara. Success shouldn't be such a public display. So anyway, says Gemara Eini, but is that really so? That you should not buy land that's close to the city? But we found the opposite to be true. Vashkechinu Rabbi Abba l'talmidei Rav. Rabbi Abba once found the talmidim of Rav. Amar lehu, mayim Rav v'ani krayi. And he said to him, I wonder, what did Rav say? How did Rav teach up pshat in the following psukim? Baruch atah bi'ir, baruch atah b'sadeh, baruch atah b'vach, baruch atah b'tzeisecha. What did he say is pshat in those psukim? Va'amru leh, they said, hachyam Rav. Ah, Rav said beautiful pshat. Baruch atah bi'ir, she'i beischa samach le'beis ha'knesses. Baruch HaTabi'ir means that your house should be close to the shul. That it should be, it's always good to live near a shul. And this way, if it's ever bad weather or whatever else, it's difficult to get to the shul, you're going to be close by and you'll have no problem. That's Baruch HaTabi'ir. Baruch HaTabi'sadeh, shu'nechsecha krovim li'ir. Baruch HaTabi'sadeh means you should have your business close to the city. And that way, it's always accessible to you, it's always available to you. And that's the bracha of Baruch HaTabi'sadeh. Now, right there, we could stop. That's our kasha. But the kasha is, how can you say that you're not supposed to buy fields close to the city because you're afraid of ayin hara? Isn't that the very bracha of Baruch HaTabi'sadeh, that you should dafka have fields close to the city? Basically, that you shouldn't have a major commute to work. It's a great bracha not to have to have the hassle and the headache of a commute to work. I'm telling you, it's a phenomenal bracha. So anyway, Baruch HaTabi'vuecha, but we're just going to quote the rest of it anyway. Baruch HaTabi'vuecha, so we're not going to actually answer this question until the top of Amud Beis. Baruch HaTabi'vuecha, shaltimse ishtecha safek nida b'shas b'yascha min ha'derech. Baruch HaTabi'vuecha means you shouldn't come home and find that your wife is a safek nida. Says Rashi, safek nida v'kolshken vaday nida. It would be even worse if she were a vaday nida. But elsewhere Rashi says, Rashi in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Gimel says, no. A vaday nida would be much better, because a vaday nida, at least you know she's aser, so you're much more comfortable with the idea that you can't touch her, that you have to stay away from her, because you know she's a nida. A suffix nida is much more difficult, because you know, it's a shaila, she might not even be a nida, is this really necessary? The yetzer hara is much stronger on a suffix nida than it is on a vaday nida. So that's why Dafka the Gemara says that you shouldn't find ishto suffix nida v'shas b'yaska min ha'derech. Baruch HaTab B'tzei Secha means shu'tzatzei me'echa kamoscha, that your children should be like you. That's Baruch HaTab B'tzei Secha. V'amr luhu Rabbi Yochanan lo amar achi. And they said, you know what? He said back, that may be what Rav said. Rabbi Yochanan did not say that pshat at all in those psukim. You know what Rabbi Yochanan said? Ela Baruch HaTabi'ir, and again, this is all a tangent. Baruch HaTabi'ir, she'beis hakisei samach l'shulchan ercha. Baruch HaTabi'ir means you should have a bathroom close to where you eat, so that if you need to go to the bathroom, you need to run to the bathroom from the table, you ate something bad or whatever, it's good to not have to hold it in, to be able to run to the bathroom. Aval beis haknesses lo. But nothing to do with the beis haknesses. Adarabba. A beis haknesses is better not to have close to your house. Rabbi Yochanan tamei domer schar psios yesh. This is Rabbi Yochanan shitaso, that you have schar psios when you go to a beis haknesses. You get schar for walking to shul. So better to have more schar psios by walking a long distance to shul. And in fact, the Magen Avraham writes in Shulchan Aruch, if a person has two batei knesios in the city, mitzvah lelechas al harachok yoser. He should go to the further beis haknesses because of schar psios. And that's how the Mishnah Berurah writes, mitzvah lelech beis haknesses rachok v'mnei schar psios. Asks the Har Tzvi, wait a second, don't we have a concept of ein mavirin al mitzvos? That if you have a mitzvah available to you closer by, you're not allowed to pass up that mitzvah to go do another mitzvah. That's why when we take out our talis and tefillin, we have our talis more accessible to us than our tefillin, because we want to put on the talis first. If we were to touch the tefillin first, it would be a problem of ein mavirin al mitzvos. You'd have to put on the tefillin first. So why don't we have an issue of ein mavirin al mitzvos? Why would it be that you should go to the further shul? So it could be the further shul maybe doesn't mean that you have to pass by the closer shul. Sometimes they're in different directions. But Rav Tzvi Yitzchak Frank says no. He says different. He says over here it's not ein mavirin al mitzvah. Ein mavirin al mitzvah is when I'm going to pass up one mitzvah to go do another mitzvah. Over here it's the same mitzvah. It's being done in both places. So I'm just going a further distance to go do that one mitzvah of tefillah. So that's not a problem of ein mavirin al mitzvah. Obviously, there are other considerations in choosing a shul other than looking for the one that's furthest away. But assuming everything else was equal, you should then go to the further one. Baruch HaTabi'sadeh, shu'nechsecha mishulashin. Baruch HaTabi'sadeh means that you should have a diversified portfolio of real estate. Shlush b'tvua, you should have grain, shlush b'zesim, olive orchards, shlush b'gvanim, and vineyards. And the point is that in years that grapes don't grow very well, at least you'll have the same reason anyone would diversify their portfolio. Sometimes something doesn't do well, other things do well, and that way your investments are going to be much better off. Baruch HaTabi'vuecha, Baruch HaTabi'tzeisecha means she'tei yitziascha min ha'olam ki biyascha li'olam. The way you leave the world should be the way you come into the world. Ma biyascha li'olam b'lo chet, af yitziascha min ha'olam b'lo chet. Just like you came into this world without any sins, so too when you leave the world, you should leave without any sins, and therefore if you did sins along the way, you should do vidu in the tshuva at the end, so that you leave the world without any sins. Chachmas Menoch points out that the diuk is from the fact that it first says b'voecha and then says b'tzeisecha. because if it were kapshuto, it should, that we're referring to just leaving your house and going into your house, then it should first say tseisecha, because first you leave your house, then you come back home. So from the fact that it says voecha first, that's the implication that we're talking about coming into the world, right? Voecha, and then tseisecha, because that's the seder advarim when it comes into when it comes to birth and death, when it comes to coming into the world. It says in Gemara Vayitzer. So bottom line is, we have a kasha. On the one end, we said, Rav held that you should never buy land close to the city because you have to worry about ayin hara. And on the other end, we said that Rav held that no, it's a great bracha to have work close to the city. So which is it? Lo kasha. Depends if you have a fence around your property where people can see. If you have a fence around your property so no one can see it, better to have your work close to the city, and you're not going to have to worry about ayin hara because no one's going to be looking because there's a fence. But if you don't have a fence around your property, better to get further away. We're just going to dash in Vayter and Psukim. Hashem should remove from you all illness. Amrav zu ayin. That refers to ayin hara. Rav l'tamei, the Rav salik l'bei kivri, avin mai da avin. Rav went to the Beis HaKvaros and he did his thing. What does it mean he did his thing by the Beis HaKvaros? Rav apparently, says Rashi, knew how to do some sort of trick where he was able to figure out how each person buried in the cemetery died. And he did his trick to figure out how each of the people that were buried in that cemetery died. And he came out and he concluded, Amar Tishin V'tisha Ba'ein Ra'a Ve'echad B'derech Eretz. He said, one of these people died of natural causes, and 99 of them died with Ayin Hara. So you see that Rav holds that Ayin Hara is a big killer out there. It's a terrible thing. Shmuel Amar Zer Ruach. Shmuel says, no, the worst chali is Ruach. Shmuel Etaymei, Damar Shmuel HaKol B'ruach. Shmuel says, winds cause all the deaths. All the illnesses, all the deaths, they're all caused by wind. Shmuel Yikar Ruge Malchus asks the Gemara, what about like people who are stabbed or shot? Is that from the wind also? Meaning, how can you say everyone dies with the wind? So Hanach Nami, Ilav Zika Avdilu Samachai V'chai. He says, even those people, if it were not for the wind, there would be some way to cure them. Meaning, what happens? Most of the time, it's not the wound itself, it's that the wound is exposed to the environment, and the environment that the wound is exposed to is ultimately, if you were able to clean out the wound immediately and stop the bleeding, so there would be, a person would be a lot better off. But because of the environment that the wound is exposed to, and infections, etc., that's why people end up dying. Rabbi Chanina Amar Zut Sinar. Rabbi Chanina says, no, it's coldness. It's the cold that's the worst, the cause of illness. Tam Rabbi Chanina, Kol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mitzirim Pachim. He says, everything's B'Dei Shemayim in terms of controlling whether a person's going to get sick or not, except for cold. And when it comes to cold weather, you're able to control whether you're going to be affected by it by putting on lots of coats. Shenem Ratzinim Pachim B'Derech Yikei Shomer Nafshar Yerechak Mehem. Rabbi Yosef, this is not the same, Tosus points out here in Psubas. This is not the same as a kol b'dei shemayim chutz mi yiras shemayim. That's about a person's midos. This is about the conditions that a person lives through. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Amar Zut Soa. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says Soa, the excrement from a person's body, that's what causes all the illness. Damar mar tzos achotim tzos ozen ruban kashul miyuton yafe. To have too much earwax and too much mucus is very bad. A little is okay. Rav Lazar Amar Zumara. Rav Lazar says, no, the big killer, the big illness, is to have bile. Tani nam yachi, machla zumara. V'lam nikrashma machla, she machla kol gufa shel adam. It causes illness in the person's whole body. Davar acher, machla sheshmonu mishlosh shechalayim tulin b'mara. There are 83 illnesses that are totally in bile, and machla, the gematria, is 83. V'kulan pashachmas b'melk v'kitin shalmayim v'ataltan. But if you just have a good breakfast, if you have bread and a cup of water for breakfast, you'll be able to get around all 83 of those illnesses. Rashi says, a cup of water and kolshkin, if you have wine, which is even better. There are 13 things that a good breakfast will save you from. Number, let's go through. Matzelis min hachamim min hatzina, saves you from the heat and from the cold. Min hazikin min hamazikin, and from all sorts of damages, from all sorts of spiritual damages. Umachkimas pesi, a good breakfast makes you smarter. Vizocha bedin, and you therefore going to be able to be zoch b'din. If you have a din Torah, you're much more likely to win if you have a good breakfast. asks Rabbi Yaakov Enden, is that a good thing to be much more likely to win? Isn't it a better thing to be that the Dayanim are much more likely to get the case right than you being more likely to win? What if you're wrong? We don't want you to win. So he says, no, you're much more likely to win if you're right, if you really should be Zelcha B'din, but you might lose if you're not sharp and you don't have your tainus duros, you don't have a clear picture in your head of exactly what you're supposed to say. Luma Torah Lulamid, you're gonna be able to learn Torah to teach with Dvar Nishma, and people are gonna listen to you with Talmud Maskai and Biyado, and you're gonna be able to retain your learning. Vein Basara Malahevel, you're not gonna sweat too much. Viniskatli Ishto Veinu Masav Lisha Cheres, you're gonna wanna be with your wife and you're not gonna have titles for other women. Varegis Kina Shabimnei Mayamin, it's gonna kill all sorts of lice in your stomach. Vieshom Af Motiya Sakina Maknas Zava. Not only that, it's gonna take away any jealousy and cause all sorts of love. Amle Rabbi Rav Bar Mari Minal Milsa Damri Inchi Shisan Riti Ra Filamata Lagavra Dimitsafra Karach. Where do we know this idea that you're never going to catch up to a guy who eats breakfast? He's going to be in such good shape. That you should always wake up early and eat breakfast in the summertime because of to protect you from the heat, and in the wintertime to protect you from the cold. Where do I know all that from? When are you not going to be affected by the heat and the cold? When you don't starve yourself. I have a different pasuk. How do we dash on the pasuk? That's a reference to breakfast. Mikan ve'elach, and once you have tefillah and then breakfast, then the pasuk says you're not going to have to worry about any illnesses. Okay, we'll stop there. The Gemara goes on to other topics now, but that's the end of the Agadah about breakfast. Everyone should have a good breakfast after davening.